In the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, in a few hours, 2015 will go into history. 2015 was an eventful year. And today is the last night of the year. I don't know how you feel about it. For me, when I look back, human speaking, I'm very disheartened. And I think Apostle Paul's words can appropriately describe my sentiment. From 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 8 to 10, he said, "We are troubled on every side. We are perplexed, persecuted, cast down." Indeed, it was a difficult year for us. Why? Think I have been here for more than 20 years, and God has been good to us. When we begin in Tinga, we are living on lady leave. Lady leave. The government can take away our place anytime. If they are kind enough, give us one day notice. They invite us. Because we don't have any contractual agreement with them. And all these years, we did not have a pastor. But God blessed them. And through the laboring of the elders, we have been growing. And suddenly, we are told, this church is unbelievers because we don't have a full-time pastor. And was told that elders must not preach, because we are not trained in FBC. I've been here for all these 20 over years, and since the day I accepted the Lord, I have been in BP churches. And suddenly, I was told all these things, and without biblical support. And it was a shock. Why? And let me feel that I'm a stranger in this land. I thank God that I have the opportunity to study in FBC for I think about 10 years or more. Yeah, I'm not studying full time. I was studying part time in FBC. I thank God I have the opportunity to sit at the feet of a late principal, Reverend Timothy Toh. And I learned much from him. I went on with him on one Holy Land trip. We were together for about 30 days. And through the trip, I learned how he teach us to apply God's word in real life. It was a case, we were in Jerusalem, and we were being warned, be careful of your wallet. Make sure you protect your money. But this poor Korean pastor, he made pickpocket, $1,000. This was a love gift his church member gave to him that he can enjoy the trip. When Reverend Toh heard about it, at the night devotion, he said, "Let us each one chip out some money to help our this brother, that he can enjoy the trip." And through this simple act, he teaches us as what Jesus had taught us. We love one another. Even we are on a trip, on a holiday trip, a brother was in need. In fact, the trip is being paid for. Yes, if he lost the $1,000, he still can continue the trip. But the joy of the temple. Rando teaches us. They are chip out to help this brother. That he can continue to enjoy the trip, though he has gone through this mystery. And during my learning in FEBC, two thing that he taught us that I never forget. Besides the theology of banana skin, there are two lessons I never forget. First lesson, when he sent a young lecturer to Hilltop to teach in Hilltop. Hilltop is a mission station we support. It's their practice. They are not BP, but they are very fundamental. They did a lot of work to bring the gospel to the dark land of Philippines. He sent this young lecturer to this Hilltop, and he told this young lecturer, you go there to preach, to teach God's word only. Do not argue with them. And you know that Baptists, they don't practice sprinkle baptism. They practice this immersion. And at the time, it was a big argument. And there was one pastor even write a long thesis to say immersion is wrong. Ramto said, you go and teach God's word and don't involve in this argument. You know, this young lecturer will tend to go there and tell him, you are wrong. Because Bible said, and we believe, baptism by sprinkle. So, when Timothy told, sum it up a very simple way. More water, less faith. Less water, more faith. This settled it off. Second lesson he told us. When he sent this young graduate to help up in one of the small churches in Singapore, he told this young graduate, go to the church to help them out. Do not argue with the elders. Do what your elders tell you. Faithfully serve. Why I bring up these two lessons I learned? From here you can see how this old pastor teaching the young preachers. We are sent to a church to build up a church. You are called to Tinga with a purpose. That is, build up the church God gave to us. You are not here to destroy the church. That's why he warned these two youngsters. So just come out from a college. We must do one to fight what they learn. And at the time, mode of criticism was a hot topic. Learn to warn him that your job there is not to fight on this topic. It's not important. Important is bring God's word to the people. And same thing, he warned this young graduate, you're not there to fight with the elders. You help him to build a church. And now the church is quite big, and very big, and they reach out many nations, many countries. And this one is also taught by the Bible. Apostle Paul tells us in Ephesians chapter 4 that we are called to a church to serve the church. We are there to build up. And you are being called, could be a pastor, who are preachers, who are ordinary members, to a particular church. You are not there to destroy the church, but you are there to build up. So when I look back, it's very disheartening what we have seen in this church. And I'm praying, because I need to share his word tonight. I say, God, what you want me to share? And God, show me to share with you Psalm 27. Psalm 27 was a psalm written by David. We do not know when he wrote the psalm. But you look back the life of David, and you know, then you can realize that why he wrote this psalm. David was a young boy when he faced the big enemy, great enemy, in the person of Goliath. And all us know the story very well. Goliath was a great man in physics. And none of the Israel soldiers dared to confront him. But this young shepherd boy came in front of him. And you know the story. He killed him with a stone. And when he was serving in King Saul's camp, and when King Saul was disturbed by this evil spirit, his lieutenant told him, "Get David here to play the harp, and this evil spirit will depart from you." And David did that. So every time King Saul gets into trouble, David will play the harp and he had peace. How was David being rewarded? Saul was very jealous of him because he knew he had been anointed as the next king. So having the meal, any time, David's life was at risk because Saul can take out a spear and throw at him to kill him. But God preserved him and he was delivered. Then when he went away from King Saul, there were 400 people follow him. And we knew that he had built up a small army he had. And who are these 400 people? The Bible told us that there are people in distress, in debt, they are discontented. They follow David. And God blessed David and the people. From nothing, they built up with some treasure, family, the wives and children. At the time David was following the Philistines. And you know that when Philistines were fighting against Israel, and David was serving one of the Philistines' leader, so he said, "Let me help you. Let us go and fight against Israel." But the Philistines did not trust him, sent him back. And when David went back to his village, the place he called Ziklag, lo and behold, what happened? The place was robbed by Amalekites. All their treasures, all their wives, their children, including David's, were robbed away. What was the response of David's men? They tell David, "Don't worry. With experience in faith, let us work together to take back." No. The man was so angry, wanted to stone him. Told David, "It was your doing caused the loss in us." So, dear brothers and sisters, he'd been working so hard, fighting for these people, build them up, and now you pray, you face this tragedy, and your people blame you. How do you think? So let us put ourselves in David's shoes. David must be very angry, and only right for him to be angry. But what did he do? Bible told us. David encouraged himself in the Lord, his God. He asked God, "What must I do?" And all us know the ending. Why did David can do that? Why he was not discouraged? He had been helping the Israelites. He had been serving King Saul so well. He risked his life for King Saul. And he taken care of this group of so-called useless people so well. But in return, he put his life in risk. But was he discouraged? No. Because he knew who his God is. When he was a shepherd boy out in the field, David told us, God delivered him from the paw of lion and bear. David is not a big sized man. If you can imagine the lion and the bear, it could be as big as the size of David. In the field, he was alone, but God delivered him. So that made him to write this psalm. He said, "The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear?" David, and like you and me, we are living in darkness. We are lost. Because in darkness, we can't see the way we go through. But God is the light. They came into the darkness to find him. Not only find him, God delivered him from the darkness. David knows he's a great sinner. It's not worthy for his God to come to find him. But God sought him out from the darkness. And not only that, he said, "The Lord is my strength of my life, of whom shall I be afraid?" David knows who his God. He is the creator of the universe. And if he is you, who can go against you? And that was Paul, Apostle Paul's conviction too. Apostle Paul telling us that if God be for us, who can against us? He that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? Our God had given up his most precious thing, the life of his beloved son. He had given us the most precious things. What else? He will withhold from us. And he is on our side. Who can go against him? And this psalm comfort me much, that we can echo with what Paul has said. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, 8 to 10. Let me read to you. "We are troubled on every side, yet not distressed." Yes, we are troubled, but we are not distressed. It's painful, but we are comforted. "We are perplexed, but not despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Cast down, but not destroyed." And he said, the reason is always bearing about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our body. They're looking at Lord Jesus Christ, that he had been beaten for our sake. So his comfort is because what Jesus Christ had done for him, and he can have a glory because what Jesus has done for him. That's why he is so confident in telling us that, yes, I was beaten, but this worth it because Jesus has done for me. Because I am going to be with him. I'm not worthy. I'm a sinner. And you know Apostle Paul, he was one who went around to persecute the Christian. And he thought that was righteous to do, because Jesus was born in the family of carpenter. Who was this guy? A carpenter. But he called himself Son of God. How can he call himself Son of God? It's blasphemy. So he persecuted because he thought he had done the right thing for God. And when he met Jesus on the road to Damascus, he realized that was the God he persecuted. And he realized how God did not destroy him, but God saved him. And saved him. And he, since then, serving God, despite of what he had encountered. So, brothers and sisters, what has happened in this church is not by accident. We must be comforted Because we are sinners saved by grace. And the one who saved us is the Creator. So David told us, the Lord is my light and my Savior, and He is my strength. Whom shall I be afraid? So when he faced the enemy, he was confident. He knew who his God is. So he said, verse 2, when the wicked, even my enemies and my foes, came upon me to eat up my flesh, they stumbled and fell. Those and hosts should encamp against me. My heart shall not fear, though war should rise against me. In this will I be confident. Because he knows who his God is. He said in verse 4, one thing have I desire of the Lord, that will I seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in his temple. For in the time of trouble he shall hide me. In his pavilion, in the secret of his tabernacle, shall he hide me. He shall set me upon a rock. That was his confidence. He knew his God. He knew his God will protect him. He knew that God will put him in the pavilion. What is the pavilion? According to the word we checked in the original meaning, is a house, well defended house. God protect him, defended. And not only God defended him, protected him, he is put in the secret of his tabernacle. What is tabernacle? Tabernacle is the way God is. Israel, God had asked Israel to build a tabernacle. And tabernacle reside in the center of all the tribes. Symbolize God is with them. And now David says, I am hide my God in the secret of the tabernacle. What is the secret of tabernacle? The holy of the holy. Where God is. It is not only in where God is. He is what? He shall set me up upon a rock. Upon a rock. What is this rock? This rock is God. I am in him, and he is in me. Jesus said, when you do his commandment, you are in Jesus. Jesus is in you. That means David telling us, God is in him, and he is in God. And if God is with him, who can against him? So he concludes in verse 6, and now shall my head be lifted up above my enemies round about me. Therefore, will I offer in his tabernacles sacrifices of joy. I will sing, yea, I will sing praises unto the Lord. Despite so many enemies surrounding him, he said, I will sing praises unto the Lord, because he knows who is his God. He knows his God will protect him. Brothers and sisters, do you know who is your God? So the first point we need to learn today is, be assured who your God is. Who is your God? How do we know who is our God? David learned of his God through his life experience. And you and me must also do the same thing. And the way to know God is to read God's word. To read God's word. From God's word, we know his attributes and his characters. And from the God's word, he lists up all the testimony for us. How God works. And knowing God's word is not good enough. We must meditate on God's word and live according to God's word. And when you live according to God's word, then you can realize who our God is. Because to live in God's word, you must have faith in God. Because God expects us to be different from the world. In Tinga, if we want to follow the conventional thinking, we have to do things there to please the members. The member asks us to apologize and apologize. The members ask us to review everything they have to review. Even there is the confidential information people entrust with us to please them. But God said no. You must do in God's way. For King Saul, for David, you see, there was two occasions David can kill King Saul easily. He was in the cave. Saul was sleeping in the cave. David was there. David can just go out and kill him. But he just cut a part of his robe and he feels so guilty. So, in conventional thinking, and that's the right thing to do. Because he and saw him pursuing his life. And now God gave him the best opportunity. But why did David didn't do it? David walked close with God. He knew his God. He prayed. Is that the right way to do? And let's think back. If David really did that, if David made use of the two opportunities and killed Saul, and he become king, he will become king because God anointed him. But do you think he got built up a strong country? Do you think he will win the heart of the Israel? He might win the heart of some of the Israelites, but definitely not the tribe of Benjamin, because King Saul come from Benjamin. But David did not do the conventional way of thinking. He go back. He said, this is another he cannot touch. Let God handle it. And he did not kill Saul. And at the right time, Saul took away the life of God took away the life of Saul. And God prospered David. So, brothers and sisters, in God's work, we must do God's way. We must fear God and not fear man. We must know God's word. And you want to do God's way, you must know who your God is. And how to know who your God is? You follow His word. And He will build through the small things. He will build our faith up. And through a small struggle, you know how God helps us. Prepare us for the bigger challenges. And when you're facing bigger challenges, you know who your God is. You follow. Do things that honor God. So David tells us, when the wicked, even my enemies and my foes, came upon me to eat my flesh, they stumbled and fell. Though an host should encamp against me, my heart shall not fear. My heart shall not fear. Though walls should rise against me, in this will I be confident. And now shall my head be lifted up above my enemies round about me. And I offer in his tabernacle sacrifices of joy. I will sing, yea, I will sing praises unto the Lord. In the midst of enemy, he said, I will sing the praises unto the Lord because I have confidence in my God. I will do his will according to his word. God has given us the whole counsels of his word. So as we close 26:15, we have resolved to read his word, understand his word, and live our life according to his word. And you see how God will strengthen our faith. I know looking at surrounding, we could be discouraged. The circumstances telling us that in conventional mind, in secular world mind, we are not successful. Are we not successful? We must know who is our God. What is the purpose? God has a purpose for us. Let us ask ourselves, have we strayed away from God? Let us reflect. Let us go back to God's word, study his word, and do according to his word. And study his word is not good enough. Then we continue. Hear, O Lord, when I cry with my voice. Have mercy also upon me and answer me. Verse 8. When thou seek ye my face, I my heart say unto thee, thy face, Lord, will I seek. You see, when we deal with God, it's not one direction. God not only give us instruction, God also want to listen to us. God wants us to pray. And David said, "Hear, O Lord, when I cry with my voice, have mercy also upon me and answer me." He was praying very earnestly. He said, "O Lord, when I cry, hear my voice." He was very earnestly praying unto his God. And he said, "When thou shalt seek ye my face, my heart say unto thee, thy face, Lord, will I seek." He was pleading God's help. Yes, he asked me to seek thy face. I will seek thy face. I pray earnestly. Why we must pray? God knows what we need. Then why must we pray? God wants to hear our prayer. I believe because prayer to help us to align ourselves with God. Prayer to adjust our disposition. Knowing that we are needy, we need, knowing that we are helpless. You see, when you pray, you are pleading something. You must come to somebody who can meet your need, then you pray. Plead with him, isn't it? When you pray to God, we thank God. God, I really need you. So when you pray, not only when we need him, when you pray, when God has done something good for us, in rejoicing, we also pray to him. Thank God. It is you who enable me. So when we pray, we will humble ourselves. We will check ourselves. We will adjust our disposition. We will differentiate who is God and me. So we pray. And we pray, we want to find favor in the one we pray to. And we pray to God, we find favor in God. And you want to find favor in God, you must please him. And you must know what will please God. So when you pray, we ask God, help us. Help us. That's why the Bible tells us, if we pray according to God's will, he will definitely answer you. God knows our need. And why God wants us to pray? We need to look at ourselves. What we praise, is it according to God's will? Because God will never give us anything that's not good. What God gives to us is the best for us. So he wants us to humble ourselves, knowing that we are needy people, knowing that he is my God, he can help me. So David is telling us, "Hear, O Lord, when I cry in my face and my voice, have mercy also upon me and answer me." He prayed earnestly. So I believe when he ran away from Saul, he was praying earnestly. And God lay upon his heart, "Wait for me. Wait for me." And he did not kill Saul in the two occasions. So he allowed God to take his time. So verse 9 says, "Hide not my face far from me. Put not thy servant away in anger. Thou hast me my help. I leave me not, neither forsake me. O God, my salvation." So can you feel the earnestness of David's prayer? David thank God that I am needy. I can't help myself. I need your help. Praying to God. And he know that he is not able. Only God can help him. So he's praying very earnestly to God. He sincerely plead to him and submit to him. And the confidence in him is verse 10. "When my father and my mother forsake me, then the Lord will take me up." Many of us are parents. The children God given to us are treasure to us. Really, very rare, the parent will forsake the children. In fact, the parents will sacrifice themselves for the children's sake. But here, David thanks us the confidence he has in his God. He said, when my father and my mother forsake me, did his parents forsake him? No. But what he said, when my father and my mother forsake me, then the Lord will take me out, because he knew who his God is. So he pleaded to God, help me. And by praying to God, he knows his need. He knows God's will. And he do according to God's will. And what should we pray for? Verse 11 and 12. Teach me thy way, O Lord, and lead me in a plain path because of my enemies. Deliver me not unto the will of my enemies, for false witnesses are raising up against me, and such as breathe out cruelly. He thanked God, let your way be done, because your is best. Let your way be done, because I'm in the midst of enemy. I don't know which way, but your way is best. So he said, teach me thy way, and lead me in plain path because of my enemies. Deliver me not over unto the will of my enemies, for false witnesses are risen up against me, and such as breathe out cruelty. David knew the situation he was in. He knew only his God will deliver him. So he submit to God. Sincerely plead unto God, thank God, I can't do anything. Please help me. Please help me. So, brothers and sisters, God has put us here to do his work. The circumstances might discourage you. But I think what happened is not as worse as what David has faced. It's not as worse as what Apostle Paul has encountered. But we also cannot take it lightly, because Caritina is a church built up by God. It's a witness he wants to establish in this part of the world. He wants us to focus back on him. We've been here for more than 20 years. In the first 19 years, we were without a pastor. When the pastor came, we had an issue. After we sort out the issue, we had three preachers. And my heart was so happy. Some of you might think that why we should have three preachers? We need only one pastor. When I look at a field here, and at the time, the government had announced the development plan in this part of the world. In my heart, I say, that is a great work. We are not only minister to English speaking, we are minister to Mandarin speaking also. And I see other churches. There are many pastors in the church. One taking care of a church, one taking care of a church planting. They co-labor together. So I was so glad. I thank God we got three preachers. I'm looking forward. The way these preachers will go together with us. And one may be taking a Chinese congregation, one take English, and third one go out with us to China, to Malaysia, because there are still many people outside God's kingdom and they need God's word. And we go to China and see why God bring us to Jordan and raise us up to do the CWGO. Brothers and sisters, China is a very difficult place. Many churches, or I don't call them churches, house churches, they don't have a pastor. They're struggling. All the pastors are serving in the government churches. And they don't speak God's word. They follow the government because they are paid by the government. So these are our fellow Chinese. They need God's word. China in 1960, when there was a cultural revolution, All their roots are cut away. Even the Confucian's theory, teaching, cut away. Don't talk about Christianity. How many people were persecuted because they hold a Bible? In China, you see now, what is the standard of their value? It's the money. I was in China before. I deal with them. You and me are friends today. But tomorrow, if I threat to your well-being, I'm no more your friend. They have lost their value. They need their value. They need God's word. So, brothers and sisters, I believe God has a purpose for the thing. God wants us to do His way. So, for us in Tinga, we must know Christ. Know who is your God. Know what our Lord Jesus Christ has done for us. And how He will enable us to do His will. And we must also make Christ known. We cannot hide it in this small four walls. The great news of salvation in Christ must reach out far. And you are born in Singapore. That is the reason why God called you. That you are able, financially, politically, whatever reason you think, you are able to do God's work to reach out. I can go to China anytime with my passport. I got no hindrance. I'm not a pastor. I'm a circular engineer. I can go to China anytime. I can go down to the houses anytime. Not an issue. And all you also can do that. God needs you and me. So, brothers and sisters, you are here with a purpose. So, today, tonight, through this time, God thank us. Know who your God is. Be assured of who your God is. And you know who is your God. You are able to do good things for Him. And your faith will be strengthened. And by doing that, you must know your God's word. Know who is your God. Practice His word. Through the practicing, you can experience the love of God and the power of God. You must practice His word. You must trust in Him. And by doing that, you want to do that, you must pray. Pray. Through prayer, you know who is your God. Through prayer, you realize that I'm so tiny, I need God's help. So we need to read God's word to know who is God. We need to pray. And next thing is we. Verse 14. David tells us, wait on the Lord, be of good courage, and He shall strengthen thy heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord. Wait on the Lord. What is this wait? Are we sitting there, do nothing and wait? Wait comes with the meaning of hoping, knowing that God has heard your prayer. Some of the translations, they don't put say, wait on the Lord, hope on the Lord. They have hope on God because they know who is their God. Wait on God. And verse 13, in tying up the confidence David has on his God. Verse 13, you can see the first rule I have fingered is italic. It's not in the Bible. Right? But translators help us to understand. He said, unless I have believed to see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living, I have fingered. You see, if without God, without my experience with my God, I have no strength to live in this world. And you look at David. He had been pursued by King Saul. He had been pursued by Philistine. He had been pursued by his son. If he doesn't know his God, he really got no strength to live. He got no hope to live. But because he knows his God. He knows God calling for a purpose. So he said, unless I have believed to see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. And the translator put, I have him. He still can stand upright because he knows who his God is. Because he walked close to God. So his encouragement to us is, wait. Wait on the Lord. Be courageous. Be of good courage. To wait on the Lord, we need courage. Because you see the thing coming to you and you're really helpless. So you must have the courage to believe that God will deliver you from all the trouble. Wait on the Lord. Have a confidence in our God and knowing that God will fulfill His word. And when you pray, you realize how God worked in your life, how God will deliver. And when David prayed, he knew at the two moments he must not accuse King Saul. God will do His way. And he waited. He ran away from Saul. He didn't kill him. Because you know it's not his timing, it's God's timing. And at the right moment, God used Philistine to kill Saul. And even that, David take care of it, buried Saul because he was anointed. So, brothers and sisters, do not be affected by the circumstances. Know who our God is. Have the experience with our God. Work close with our God. This experience, experiential faith you must have. And to build this experiential faith is by walking in God's way. And to help us to ever to walk God's way, pray. Pray and see how God will work in you. Brothers and sisters, let us not to be discouraged by what people have told you. Not to be discouraged by what they have seen. Let us be encouraged by God, by His word. And God has called you and me here to serve Him. Let us be faithful unto Him. Let us serve Him one heart and one mind. A church must be formed by a group of people of the same mind. If there's any cardinal differences in doctrine, yes, then we need to trace it out. But it's just because of some differences. Don't let Satan use this to destroy the church. Remember my late principal, who instructed his two young graduates, go and do God's word. Do not argue on some practices. Let's be very careful. We are at the last day of the last day. Satan is very smart, much smarter than you and me. Just like the Pharisees, they thought they are doing a great job for God by persecuting Jesus Christ, because Jesus called Himself Son of God. They thought they did the right thing until Apostle Paul meets face to face with Jesus. So let us pray. Is this the way God wants us to live? Is this the way God wants us to run His church? Let us commit His church into His hand and let us do according to His way. And I resolved in year 2016 to spend much time to read God's word. You see, God's word is not for the pastor only. God's word is not for the full-time workers. God's word is for you and me. And I need to say all these things to my fellow Chinese brethren, because you know our Chinese brethren, they come here to work as a labor worker. A lot of them not even have 1-6 education. So they thought that this God's word is so high and mighty. I said no. I read a short passage for them. Do you understand what all this word? Do you understand the meaning? I said yes. God's word is for you and me. Remember, Jesus told us. He will ask the Father, Heavenly Father, to send Holy Ghost to us. And when we believe in Lord Jesus Christ, the Holy Ghost lives in our heart. What does He do? One of his job is to teach us God's word. So you and me are able to understand God's word. And it's just a bowl of rice put in front of you. Do you want to eat it? If you want to eat it, have beautiful, nice, delicious rice before you, you'll die of starvation. Similarly, God's word is so freely in our hand. If we don't want to read God's word, we are starved in spiritual starvation. So, brothers and sisters, my prayer for all us is in 2016, let's spend time to read God's word. Ask Holy Spirit, open our eyes to know His word, to practice His word in our life. Let we practice the word and experience the presence of God in us. And us pray much that we can wait for God, wait for Him to come back. So let me close by reading this verse from Apostle Paul, the charge to his beloved Timothy. May this be encouragement to you and me. This is written in 2 Timothy 4:1-8. I think all us are very familiar. Paul charged Timothy. He said, I charge thee therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at this and his appearing and his kingdom. Preach the word. Be instant in season, out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lust shall they heap to themselves teachers, having itchy ears. And they shall turn away their ears from the truth, and shall be turned unto fables. But, watch thou in all things, endure afflictions, do the work of an evangelist, make full proof of thy ministry. For now I am now ready to be offered, and the time of my departure is at hand. So let us do what Paul has told Timothy is also the charge given to us. Watch thou in all things, endure afflictions, do the work of an evangelist, make good proof of thy ministry. Let us go out and bring the gospel. Let us come together to serve Him, that we can stay the day when we see our Lord Jesus Christ. In verse 7, he said, I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept my faith. And together we will wait for this. Henceforth, let us lay out for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at the day, and not to me only, but unto all them also that love his appearing. That's correct.